The title for my sermonette today is Nation Will Rise Against Nation. Jesus Christ, not long before his crucifixion, gave his disciples some warnings for the present time, namely us, upon whom the time of the end has come. It says in Mark 13, beginning with verse 3, about the time ahead of us as follows. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled?" And Jesus, answering them, began to say, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled. For such things must happen, but this is not the end." And now follows the important and crucial verse in relation to this sermonette. Verse 8 says, "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows." Many of the rumors of war we can already examine from all over the world today. Many conflicts, envy, jealousy among the leaders of nations are becoming more and more visible. Countries that do not play along with certain agendas, as some heads of state would wish them to do, are being pilloried, ridiculed, covered with sanctions, and portrayed as enemies and dangerous people. One's own morality will be placed above that of others, and one's own populations will then be incited via government media, pro-government media. The same happens also with political opponents, unpleasant groups, or simply with people who represent another opinion, and this possibly still pronounce. And this applies in particular to true Christians. In our World News of July 22, 2021, we published an article about the U.S. government's cooperation with the internet company Facebook. It said that the government provides the company with lists of accounts that spread alleged misinformation so that Facebook can then delete previously tagged posts. So here, direct censorship is being practiced. But there, it is mainly about political content. But how does this affect true Christians? On August 8, 2021, Israel 365 News published an article titled, "The Small Print in Big Tech Community Guidelines Targets Faith-Based Users for Censorship." The article stated, "The NEPA Legal Institute revealed that hidden in the small print of the community guidelines and user agreements are details that are used by tech companies and social media platforms to censor and remove religious organizations for hateful conduct that is actually an expression of beliefs that do not conform to liberal values." But what kind of beliefs is this hateful behavior in particular referring to? The article goes on to say, "Now companies reserve the right to kick organizations off their platforms for supporting traditional marriage, opposing abortion, questioning transgenderism, or holding any other belief currently out of cultural or political favor with Silicon Valley. The originator of this attitude is, of course, none other than the god of this world, namely Satan the devil." One recognizes thus already very clearly that everywhere a division should be produced. Groups are systematically and consciously being excluded and stigmatized. In the past, this was often the beginning of hatred among nations. The people were so prepared for the following wars. And so there will be a persecution of true Christians in the future. Already today, many conflicts in the world are religiously motivated. And this has increased massively in recent years. Through this kind of censorship, in connection with the stigmatization of dissenters by politicians, the instigation and exclusion, defamation and lies, this all will be a very explosive mixture that is brewing. Man creates all these problems that Jesus Christ described for this time largely by himself. Of course, we in God's church also know the outcome of all of that. But does all this happen simply by chance? Or does God perhaps also have a certain share in the events? Events which become so awful that mankind would extinguish itself if Jesus Christ would not return and make an end to the whole madness. Let us go together to 2 Chronicles 15 and see how it was in previous times, but how God still cares for his people today. In 2 Chronicles 15, verses 5 to 7. Second Chronicles 15, beginning in verse 5. And in those times there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in. But great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the lands. So nation was destroyed by nation, and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. But you, be strong, and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Furthermore, God has the prophet proclaim in the following in Haggai 2, verse 22, where we will read together. Haggai 2, verse 22. Haggai 2, verse 22, where it says, I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them. The horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. So now we have read that we should not grow weary and not be frightened by all this, and to continue our work of proclaiming the gospel as a testimony. And that then at the end, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, we will receive our reward. From many sermons, we know our fate if we remain faithful and endure to the end. But what does God have planned for those who are not called today? What will be their fate, and what will they receive from God after the return of Jesus Christ? After all the nations have fought wars against each other and then have recognized God and become obedient to him. Let us read God's own words on this subject by going together to Isaiah 56. And read from verse 1. Isaiah 56, beginning in verse 1. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath, and keeps his hands from doing any evil. Do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people, nor let the eunuch say, "Here I am, a dry tree." For thus says the Lord, "The eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off." Therefore, it is clear that the Sabbath, including the annual holy Sabbath, will continue to exist and will ultimately be valid for all. Even though lawlessness is now entering more and more into this world, God's law continues to apply. For those who are called today and who are actively working to establish the kingdom of God here on earth, this is self-evident. But the beautiful thing is the certainty that this will be fully established again in the kingdom of God and will be binding for all who want to be a part of it. Even though all this is now coming upon this world, this is nothing that we must be afraid of. Jesus Christ said it in Mark 13, verse 7, "Do not be troubled." The behavior and the subsequent sin will bring a lot of terrible things upon this world. And very much of it is already more than clearly visible today. I have only mentioned a few examples, with so many more that could have been added. But ultimately, the kingdom of God will be established on this earth, and then, after everything physical is burned up, the family of God will live and reign in eternity.